Good.
Good.
Yeah.
I thought you were just taking a nap there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could be too. Sometimes I can sleep with my eyes open.
You're pretty good at that. I wish I could do that. Yeah.
So what do you do for work, Ed?
I'm the executive director at Comfort Center.
Oh, okay.
Like the downtown Kemper Center?
Yeah, right on the lakefront.
Wow,
there.
Wow, I used to play a couple of string concerts there when I was younger, yeah.
We've got five jazz concerts, and then I got four bands left, so I've got five or nine free events down there on the lakeshore this year.
It's a very cool historic building and a great venue, too.
On 17 and a half, beautiful lakefront and acres there, that's for sure.
Unbeatable views. Yes.
I like that. You're a spokesman. I got to hire you. Wow.
No.
Yeah, real good.
No.
No?
No, sir. You may not.
Just got her about a month ago.
Don't even think about it.
We can talk. Just okay. Joking. Just joking.
So that's one of the places that I have yet to get to. So did you call golden strings or what?
No, I took private lessons. I played violin in high school, and my private teacher had like a showcase a few times a year for like all of her students, and we did like Christmas concerts at Kemper. So
nice venue.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the trail there is heavily used. Like that goes through it. It's very nice.
The Lasky family was just there a couple days ago. So.
Always there. Great. We're always welcoming anybody in the West End, East End, West End, South End. We don't care where you're from. Come on down.
All right.
Likewise on the West End.
I'm here now.
Come on out to the You're halfway.
Well, this is actually the dead center of the county.
That's what I mean. You're halfway.
This is where I'm at right here.
So. Well, it looks like this is all we're going to have here. It's 6 o'clock, so I guess I'll let me pull up the agenda here. Wait, I think I already have it pulled up. Another screen here. Yep. Well... Normally there's call meetings to order and roll call and stuff like that, but it doesn't look like we haven't had this meeting. So certification of compliance with Wisconsin open meetings law is the first thing on it.
Yes, that has been done. And I have the paperwork of the published dates.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, of course.
Should I go call for the other thing now or at the end?
I think it's up to the chairman, Mr. Caro, Mr. Kubecki. Am I saying your name right, Ed? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay. Mr. Kubecki is requesting the floor for a motion.
Yep. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out order here normally, and maybe I'll defer to Dan just a second here. But who is the... We want to do introductions and
sure.
Things like
that. Right. So it's your meeting, but we are here to serve and help, and I have an icebreaker. So if we want to do the icebreaker first, it's totally up to you all. If you want to do your business before we do introductions, that's fine with me.
Yeah, we'll do that.
If I could, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'd like to do is change the structure of this committee. I was appointed vice chair by the chair of the board, but what I'd like to do is ask this committee if it would be all right by you all that I make Daniel Gashke the vice chair of this committee, due to the fact that a few things, he was a former chair of this committee, and secondly, which I think, as I mentioned several times already, it's equally important to make the work sessions and he takes out the time to go ahead and do that with me with my work obligations. I won't be able to make the time to do that. I think someone that spends the effort, does the time, and was the former head of this thing, being vice chair, would be very beneficial to the chairman, Carol, moving forward. So if I can get a second, I'd like to
move
that. So my motion is to make Daniel Gashke the vice chair of this committee, and Mr. Franco has seconded. Now it's up to you to take over from there.
Okay. normal meeting procedures that I know would be, I'd call for a vote now. So
right, exactly.
So, yep.
That's correct.
All of those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, yeah, unless there's discussion.
You're right, I should have asked for discussion. So.
Does the change create any conflict on other committees? I don't know how many committees you can be chair, vice chair, et cetera. There's no conflict created by making the change.
None that I'm aware of.
Dan, you are not a vice chair of any other committee or chair of any other committee, so.
I think it's pretty clean.
No objections.
So I guess, you know, with this, I have not talked to Chairman Nudo about this, but, you know, I guess what we can do is, you know, and just confirm it with him.
That's fine. I'd like to get a vote on it here, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you want, I think that's the way to go about it. And I, like I said, I went brick, there he is right here. Sorry.
Okay.
Hey.
Chairman Nudo.
Chairman Nudo, welcome.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay.
I'm just talking to Mr. Kubicki about his desire to step down as vice chair and have Mr. Gashke be the vice chair instead. So.
Okay. Yeah.
We talked about it.
So what I call it, maybe what we can do is just elect the, because it's going to be the second vice president.
Yep.
We elect the second, you guys elect the second vice president, and then they can be swapped.
You want me to be second chair?
No, we elect Daniel as second vice chair, and you resign.
And that
resign. That's what we talked about.
Right.
Yeah, just what the chairman said. But you were okay with it.
Yes.
Okay. They just want to hear it from you.
Oh, okay.
So we're all on the same page.
Everybody on the same page now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, so Mr. Kubicki brought forth a motion. Mr. Franco seconded it, and then we were in discussion, and you came in. So we were going to vote on it as a committee here for that. So I guess... All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion carries. So.
Thank you for relinquishing the floor. I appreciate
it.
Thank you, Chairman, for understanding and answering their questions. It came in perfect time.
Okay. Now you're going to stay as second vice president?
No.
Or you want to?
No, he's going to do it. I'm just stepping down. I'm just a member.
You just want to
stay. I'm just a member.
Okay. Then I suppose then we need.
Oh, I'll talk to, do you want to talk to the clerk?
No. Then you still need a second.
He's talking the backup first.
Yes. You still need a second vice president. You don't want to stay on at all.
I'd rather not, because you missed what I said earlier. Daniel makes the work sessions. I don't make the work session, so I think he's doing the
work. Okay, that's
fine.
Right. So that's why he's going to go as the first one.
Yeah.
And then you want to stay as a second. If not, we need a second.
I think you got people here that can do
that's
the second. I'll step out, and then I'll support whoever you guys support. Thank you.
Okay. I wasn't aware that there was a second vice chair.
Yes,
okay.
So structurally... they need to be here? Do we have to do it tonight? Question.
Okay. Do we have any people that wish to be the second vice chair on the committee here?
I'll make the motion that Supervisor Franco, if he's willing to serve in that role, serve as second vice chair.
Sure, I'll do it.
Okay.
Make it easy for everyone.
I'll second.
All right. Motion and a second. Any discussion on that? Not seeing any. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
I abstain.
Mr. Franco is the second vice chair. Again, it wasn't on the agenda, so I was taking roll call here. I do have the initial committee assignments, and I don't see, I did get an email, I think, from Supervisor O'Day that he wasn't going to make it.
Supervisor Burke.
Okay. I don't remember. remember seeing an email from him, but okay, so those two are...
We have notes that those two are excused.
Excused, okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, so now I figured we'd do a meet and greet, just go around the room here.
Sure.
And so I guess I'll start off.
Okay.
My name's Aaron Caro. I'm the chairman of the committee here, and I'm supervisor for the 23rd District, so around Twin Lakes and Powers Lake area, so far west end. Grew up in the area, so kind of lived my whole life here in Kenosha County.
I'm Gabe.
And you guys probably know Gabe.
We do. Welcome back.
District 12.
Ryan Bashaw, Supervisor District 19. So
welcome.
Right here.
Great.
My name is BJ Pandian. I'm a horticulture extension educator for both Kenosha and Racine County. So I tend to do both commercial and consumer horticulture programs in this region. And I also do the diagnostic inquiries for Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine County as well, too. And currently, I'm also in charge of the KCC Arboretum right up here as well.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alyssa Stearns, and I am the Positive Youth Development Educator for Kenosha County 4-H. And so basically what I do is I lead and manage the 4-H program. It's volunteers and its youth members and kind of guide them on various policies and procedures. So.
Hi, I'm Mary Metten. I'm the health and well-being educator with the Extension Office here in Kenosha County.
Hello, Terry Ward. I'm the area director for the Division of Extension in Kenosha and Racine counties. So some of you may know we've been through the ringer in the last handful of years with some reorganizations and retirements and physical office moves, and prior to coming to this role, I was with Extension, but as the administrator of their federally funded FoodWise program. So Bev Baker, who was my predecessor prior to the interim, and Teddy Winnett, her predecessor here, are both mentors, personal friends, and I have them on speed dial for many things. So I'm happy to be here, and welcome to the committee.
Ed Kubicki, County Porch, District 6, Kenosha's Near North Side, former legislative chair, former human service chair, former county board chair, 17 years in county government. Happy to be with this committee and work with you on it.
Daniel Biaschke, District 7, which is the center heart of the city of Kenosha, serving representing since 2018.
John Franco, 13th District County Board Supervisor, which is basically between Whitecaps and Strawberry Creek and 60th Street or 50 and K. Former member of the Public Works and Finance Committees, been on the board for 6 years.
Okay, sounds great. We'll walk through the rest of the agenda. We did talk about certification of compliance with the open meetings laws, and then now the feature program.
The feature presentation is me tonight, which is a little unusual, but we usually have an educator do some programming content, and we try to make that interactive. However, I thought it might be a good introduction for you all if I talk about the Wisconsin idea. So has anyone heard of that Wisconsin idea? Okay, Supervisor Franco, good. And then also I just wanted to get a gauge, like when I say extension, what's the first word, if you know, that pops into your head? I'm just trying to get a read of who knows what about extension. Yeah.
Go ahead. The idea that people can take classes through University of Wisconsin,
yeah.
Not necessarily on the Madison campus, but on other areas.
Perfect. Wonderful. Gold star.
Isn't it everything but Madison, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that true? Anything but Madison?
Yeah, it's more of an arm. It's the community outreach arm that delivers on this Wisconsin idea. And we do that in a variety of ways. So I just kind of like to see, because different folks interact with different parts of extension, it tends to be like that elephant with, you know, people blindfolded touching different parts. If I have the tusk, that's going to feel a lot different than someone who's feeling the hide, right? And so a lot of people might know 4-H programming, or a lot of people might know, you know, VJ's work in horticulture programming. And so we tend to be a little elusive, and people always say, oh, extension does so much, it's the best kept secret. And I said, that's not a great thing. We don't want to hear that. But anyway, so it's good to have you all here and welcome. I'll just run through this Wisconsin idea. And that is basically the quote from the president of UW in 1905. And then in today's version, I like to say the walls of the University of Wisconsin are and should be the borders of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the vision that provides opportunities. And then this is a philosophy or a vision that holds that our research should be applied to solve problems, improve health, quality of life, the environment, and agriculture for all citizens of the state. So we kind of did the icebreaker, so I'm just going to dive right into this. What the Wisconsin idea or what extension looks like in our area. Racine and Kenosha are residents, 200 plus local and regional community partners, leaders such as yourselves and business leaders, and then committee members. You all are part of that. Guide and support extension's programming by providing input on in evaluations or other settings, like here at the PDEC meeting. Our local extension educators, we're missing a couple due to some leave that's going on right now, but you'll meet them over time. Assess community needs, develop plans of work, arrange and conduct programming with constituents, community partners, county and local governments as needs are identified. And sort of what that looks like in, and this is the contribution of UW-Madison. So I like to share this graphic because it helps make sense of all those different parts I talked about. We have a lot of different programs. Sometimes it's difficult to keep track of. By the way, you'll all get copies of these slides if you want to review them later. If you have any questions, you can always ask us. But essentially, these are the institutes: agriculture, community development, health and well-being, human development, natural resources, and positive youth development. These are academic institutes within our division at UW-Madison. And what they do for us locally is they provide research and evidence-based educational content. So we can't just walk in and say, hey, I think you should try this diet, because it's really popular. We need to have research and evidence-based programming in order to be reputable and deliver that, right? So that's what we get from the institute. Some other support that they offer are program delivery support with a network of educators across the state. Many of the educators here, including BJ, who's a faculty member, and Mary, and Alyssa will be soon enough, if you haven't already, collaborate with educators across the state in their same program area to strengthen programs. So that network of relationships is really important. They support evaluations, professional development, and grant applications. So we have a couple of grants in our area that are pretty significant and fund some of our work in addition to the contract with Kenosha County. They act as PIs, or primary investigators, when the IRB requests that process. So whenever there's a grant, someone needs to ensure that all the rules are being followed. The money is always attached to rules, lots of rules, so our institutes usually offer that support. And then they administer programmatic and HR needs for local faculty and staff with me. So how does it work? I'm going to skip this, actually, because I want to get into something a little more concrete. I'll come back to those other how it works, but I want to start talking about some program areas. So when I talk about the Ag and Hort Institute, Right now you see VJ. Some of you may have known Lee Presley, who was our agriculture agent. Oh, shoot, when did Lee leave?
Over a year ago.
It's been over a year. I miss her. Yeah. She's doing great. She has a little baby, and they have a business now. But anyways, I wanted to give you some more concrete examples of what our programming looks like. And you guys, you know, will have input on this and be directing. So as you see needs, we really value your input and feedback. So, Master Gardener volunteers, how many, VJ, can you speak to that?
So, as of right now, we got more than about 60 Master Gardener volunteers working in both Kenosha and Racine County. They have about, like, more than 20 projects working in various communities right now.
And that's a branded program that we developed. VJ also handles Spring Into Gardening, programming, landscape and grounds maintenance courses, special projects determined by local needs, like congratulations on the Arboretum. I know that was a lot of work and very well done. It's looking really beautiful out there. And then when we have an educator in the ag role, what that has looked like historically clearly varies based on the needs and direction at the time. But Lee did several really important projects, and we're feeling the pain without her expertise, but we're working on filling the position. So she did convene some watershed groups. She also did farm succession planning and a lot of other programs that added value to the community, like tractor safety training for youth, clean sweep programs for agricultural waste disposal. She was really the driving force behind the Farm Fresh Atlas. I know she kept trying to develop people because we don't like to house those things too long. That's not our role. Our role is to develop programs and help them be sustainable in the community, right? Not to just do them. And then what we're looking forward to is our new focus in agriculture will be on small farms and helping small farmers improve their supply chain to local markets. So that's the latest from the Ag Institute, and one of these days I'm gonna get time to get that posted and get the ball rolling. We've been short-staffed for a while and had a few fires to put out, so that's one example of an institute, what the programs look like. Community Development Institute, Amy Grile is not here, but she certainly stands out in a crowd. We lovingly call her Tall Amy, right? And she's a lot of fun. So she's also a faculty member of the Division of Extension, and she does a lot of different projects, including food security and supply chain solutions. Right now she's trying to help farmers who have excess product get that more directly to people serving organizations to, like, cut out some of the red tape, if you will, that goes on in helping those farmers and also filling the need of feeding people. She engages, well, we all do, but this is really the focus of Amy, local business and nonprofit engagement. One example is childcare business sector support. She helped folks who run childcare centers increase their business acumen to be more profitable, more sustainable. The local government education program, she interfaces you all probably received our invitation for the new county board supervisor orientation that's going on May 23rd. So we have, I asked for a little assistance with that since I'm new in my role. And our local government educator, Mr. Daniel Foth, is coming to deliver sort of the intro of that. And then, of course, everyone will meet department heads. But this isn't something we have access to through the Division of Extension. So Amy also does applied research, and Amy and VJ have faculty obligations to publish in peer-reviewed peer-reviewed literatures. And then Amy also does a lot of team building. Has anyone here done Real Colors? The Real Colors sort of, it's a real basic personality assessment, but it's a lot of fun. It's a productive way to build teams and help people get on the same page and reduce some negativity in groups. And then special projects determined by local and regional needs. A few examples are the university program. Amy's worked on several projects to reduce recidivism in jail and prison locally. And then I believe she's going to be at the Household Hazardous Waste. Is that this
that
weekend? No, that was last weekend.
Yeah.
I missed it. Sorry. So that's another part of the Community Development Institute. Positive Youth Development, that's Alyssa. And then also Erica Ness works as she convenes the YIG program, or Youth in Governance. But we have 4-H Volunteer and Member Engagement Programs. Youth as Resources is a youth board structure. I'm just going to keep it real high level here. And if you do have questions, please reach out. And then we also work on seasonal and grant-based offerings that come our way, like some summer camp work that's being done in, well, it's not really camp. It's like some day programming at the library in the city of Kenosha. Human development and relationships. Mary has one foot in each institute, so yeah. Sort of, yeah. Some split allocations. But Mary is our local financial education guru, and she does a lot of programs. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, but Money Matters, some Rent Smart, and encouraging financial conversations, college savings education programs, and then we're just breaking into some Lifespan, which will provide support services for family members who care for parents or children, like helping them navigate resources, and some end-of-life planning. So also, we do some parent and family engagement there on healthy relationships across the lifespan and healthy family functioning for parents. Health and well-being, also Mary touches in some of that with her work in mental health first aid training and some other programs, our WECOPE. And that supports other program areas too. So 4-H, for example, leaders and volunteers get that benefits.
Yep.
I believe there's a particular offering of mental health for farmers,
yes,
given the data that we've seen recently on some mental health data.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, and then finally, in health and well-being is our FoodWise program. We don't have a FoodWise representative here tonight, but that is a program that's been around for, I think, like 19 or 20 years, a couple years longer in Racine County, and that employs 7 local educators who reach literally thousands of individuals in well, all across the state, but mostly because this is a federal grant designed to reach low-income populations. The majority of those folks are found east of the I. So that's largely where the FoodWise program works. Further, they leverage like $750,000 in the 2-county area, so that's really great opportunity. I ran that program for about 7 years before I stepped into this role, and those are some dedicated folks. So, questions, comments, thoughts? All right.
Well, a lot of information to take in.
It is.
So
it
seems like there's a, you know, certainly a lot of community involvement at many different levels. I would have to say that the part that I would have touched base with the Wisconsin Extension on was more the horticultural side, gardening, things like that.
Right.
It seems to be the,
mm-hmm,
some of the stuff I've gotten into over the years. But,
great,
you know, I'd like to know more information about kind of what are the nuts and bolts of the program, how, you know, this was a good overview,
yeah,
of it,
yeah.
But you know, when you talk about what you're doing and how you're doing it, I think it's good to try to help understand a little bit more where,
sure,
it's at, because I,
sure,
don't see, you know, when I go around, I don't see it.
Right,
like,
right.
It's not present.
Absolutely, and as we go, usually the rotation of educators that do this feature presentation in this meeting, you'll get to see, like, up close. They usually do some interactive activities that they would typically do in their programming. right? So Alyssa might present some 4-H offering if she's doing a STEM project. VJ does a lot of presentations. We've been in here planting seeds with supervisors before. I think I remember some interactive things. And so, so it's a lot of information, and we do kind of narrow down and go into more detail at these meetings. But anytime you want to come by, we're happy to do that.
Sure. Okay. And you had mentioned the real colors, the teams training, just briefly something that Amy Ryle does.
Yeah.
In fact, when she did her feature presentation a month or two ago, she did that here with the committee.
Mm.
And so that's an example of, you know, kind of getting to experience some of the things that the educators are doing.
Right. Thank you.
Another thing I found really helpful is the extension website itself is
right.
Actually just a treasure trove of information. So you could spend lots of time clicking and reading and learning more through the website. So.
Yes, for sure. And I think that's about, you know, I just want to say, like, I will touch back kind of the how it works. I wanted to talk about this program development model. So our work is cyclical and really continuous. It's always evolving based on needs and available resources. We've been down a 4-H educator for quite some time, so we're really happy. Stay away from her, Ed, to get Alyssa in this role. He's trying to recruit my educator right at this meeting. It was shameless. Requires continuous inputs and evaluation, really, to be most effective. So we're always looking for feedback, and if you notice needs or identify needs or have anything for us, please don't ever hesitate to reach out. And yeah, definitely, there's so much. I could literally be here for 4 hours trying to explain programs. I don't want to get you that far in the weeds today. Okay. That's the feature.
No questions, Brian? Usually you have some.
Oh, I don't have questions. I'm looking for next steps, honestly. One of the things that's happening in District 19, obviously we're a farm-based community for the most part between two of the communities. Brighton and Paris are both farm-based.
Right.
But there's a lot of compression against the farms.
Yeah.
Having larger farms is becoming less and less opportunistic. So micro farming, smaller farms, farm to table, I'll use that vernacular because I forgot what you actually said, is important to me, and I really like to hear more about that in the future and focus into that area a bit.
Awesome. Wonderful. And it's on my list to post this. The funding for our ag position is a shared position, as it was with, did you know Lee Presley, or did you ever interact with Lee? She was amazing. That was a real loss for us. But the funding is, half of that position is funded by Kenosha and half by Racine. So similar to BJ's sort of split is we get half of the time, and that person will be working on small farms. As a matter of fact, the director of the Agriculture Institute, Heidi Johnson, she's from Racine. And she's, you know, given us, like, you don't need a crops and soil specialist, you don't need this, you need a small farms. And I'm like, okay, farming was my grandpa's thing, not mine, so I'm going to go with what the experts say.
Yeah. We keep bees.
Oh, great.
I spent 6 hours tilling on a tractor in my garden this week already.
Oh, wow.
And
good
we
for
have
you.
Acreage up north with trees. So
okay. My
I'm
niece does bees. Very cool. All right. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and there's, I think the 4-H program is fairly active out in the Western
County
as well.
It is.
So,
yeah.
You know, the some relatives of mine were very busy in the Slates Corners, the 4-H.
Okay. Okay.
Over there. And, you know, my family from the early 1900s has been farming in the, you know, in Western Kenosha County.
Great.
So, but, you know, and same thing, our friends the Reynolds, they since the mid-1800s have owned land and farmed in the far western Kenosha County. And we're just, I'm kind of seeing where there's like a transition of people, generations as well. Are the next ones going to pick it up and keep it going, or
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Right, and Lee did a lot of like farm succession planning, which I think was a hugely valuable asset. So I'll be knocking on the door of the Institute about keeping that program alive, Ever since COVID, we did transition quite a few of our programs to, it used to always be the educator in a room, right? And then we all had to live through COVID and Zoom became a thing. And so now we can tap into those specialists, right, across the state and even host them for local audiences and groups. So we'll look forward to doing that. Noted. So that's about it for the feature, unless there are further questions.
Anybody have any others? We can move on to youth and governance.
Okay, I'm going to put on my Erica hat now because Erica's traveling this evening, and I will give you some updates on youth and governance, and we'll just want to pass these out quickly. And she's given me good directions. So there's an updated list of youth and governance. Thank you, Mary, if you just want to pass those that way. And we'll pass those this way. Thank you, Liz. Okay, so the updated list of youth and governance reps for 2022-23 cohort must be voted on and approved by the committee this evening. On this document, Erica has included instructions for what needs to be done and why. Thank you, Terry. You're welcome, Erica, for presenting this in my absence. She will be reachable by text or phone. I don't think we need her unless there are some questions, but it looks like under previous committee, the 2022-23 Youth and Governance cohort was voted on and approved. However, under the new county board, the executive committee will now be meeting monthly. In previous years, when the executive committee met monthly, youth and governance, or YIG, as we affectionately call it, representatives were appointed to the committee. In line with precedence and under the current chair, the two youth who were approved by PDEC in April to be the Youth and Governance Program as alternates are now being appointed to the Executive Committee, if this committee so chooses. The two top-scoring YIG interviewees who were not selected for the program must now be voted on by this committee to be allowed into the program to take the places of former alternates who will now be on the Executive Committee. Here's the updated list. The changes are highlighted below. And so I believe we would need a motion.
I'll make a motion that we move Alec and Enza to the executive committee and that we invite Patrick and Jessica to serve as alternates.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So there, changes are so.
Wonderful. And then Erica's additional updates. Our YIG reps will be recognized, the outgoing youth members, and the incoming will be appointed at the county board meeting next week already, May 17th, right? Their orientation will be before the meeting from 5 to 7. Their mentors have been selected by PDEC Chair Caro and Chair Menudo, and the process to getting their background checks has begun. The mentors are welcome to come to meet their mentees at 7. There will be a mentor orientation this summer. And then she wanted me to also share our super cool YIG bus tour. Oh, this is great. You guys, get it on your calendar because I'm super excited. I've done the Racine one, but I haven't done the Kenosha one. It's going to be Wednesday, June 29th, starting from and finishing up all here. All county board supervisors are welcome. Newly elected supervisors are especially encouraged to join. We take you out and do a walking tour or driving tour of departments and what goes where. And it just really helps take sort of some of the abstract to the concrete when you're there in the building and meeting the people, right? Okay. Excellent. That's it for youth and governance.
All right. Thank you for the update. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to meeting Erica at some point in time. I have got an email from her. And
great.
letting me know about what the plans are for next week. So, are any of you going to be, or Terry?
I will be. I will be there. Yeah.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. So we'll get to see you again.
Yep.
So I guess number four on our agenda then is the UW Extension Educator and Program Updates. So
sure.
How does this one work?
Yeah, so we just go around, and Mary, you want to kick us off?
Sure, yes. So April ended, and that was the Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Awareness Month. So locally, it was the Save Kids, Strong Families campaign, and we were able to do a lot more in person. So we ended the month with two great community events at the Kemper Center grounds. There was the Family Fun Run, which was the final Saturday, and then also later that afternoon here at KCC, there was the Families Branching Out Family Resource Fair, which was coordinated and hosted by the Kenosha County HCE group, which is a nonprofit that I help as a liaison for. So it was great to be able to do more things face to face and in the community again to celebrate and just provide awareness to the month. Yeah, it was really good. The run walk, it was raining that morning, unfortunately, so that, you know, doesn't help. But here, it was really good. Lots of vendors, lots of families coming through. It was from 11 to 3, and it was a pretty steady crowd throughout the day. So, yeah.
Okay.
It was the first year they did it, so it was very much a success. Something that started in May is the Encouraging Financial Conversation series, which is designed to help clients serving professionals. So people that are in social services, social workers, Head Start teachers, things of that nature that are working with families, to help them have more confidence in initiating and having conversations with their clientele about finances, budgeting, credit repair, identity theft, things of that nature. A lot of times as kind of that frontline staff, they're having those conversations and really engaging with families on a pretty intimate basis. And once those relationships are established, sometimes it's a lot easier for them to be able to speak with their clients more about different services and resources and tactics and techniques that are out there. So this is a training for those professionals to be able to have more of that information ready and able to use with the clients. And then something coming up in June that I brought, this is still technically like the final draft, but it's basically ready to go, is a mental health first aid training that will be here in the building. So the last couple years with COVID, we've had to do pretty much all of those trainings virtually, which has been great because we've been able to reach people from all across the state and have really good access to residents here to be able to join in. But just in knowing that a lot of people learn in different styles, welcoming people back to do an in-person training is exciting. So we're able to offer this at no cost with some grant funding that we have, and it will be an all-day training in June. So this will, by the end of the week, I will have it on our extension site, and we will be able to get that out. So if any of you would want to participate or know other people that could benefit from it, it really is focused similar to a medical first aid class where you learn basic information and techniques to be able to just help assist and guide people to professionals.
So, Mary, yep. who is your target audience? Is it
any adult in the community? So this one specifically is for adults assisting adults. So the biggest drawback is that it is straight through a work day on a Tuesday. So if people aren't able to come, you know, as part of work or, you know, other commitments that they couldn't stay all day. But it certainly is very much based for anyone in the community to be able to benefit and learn from.
Do you promote to teachers, to fire, police, any specific organizations as well to
yes.
get
yep.
messaging out?
Yes, it'll go out really all over. You are the first people seeing the flyer, but yeah, we're about to start pushing it. So myself and then a co-facilitator who previously worked for Kenosha County, but now she works for the VA, will be putting it on for the day.
The 21st, most teachers are going to be freed up.
Great. Yep. Yeah, and that is something in the past where, because there is a youth version for adults assisting youth, and I've partnered with some of the school districts around here to be able to teach to some of the staff.
Thank you.
Yep. That's all for me. Any questions?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a question. For those people that actually work, you know, during the week, and you mentioned about that earlier, mm-hmm. is there, like, any thought of doing anything on the weekend for catching those people that don't have the ability to take that much time off during the workday?
Yes. Yeah, I don't have anything scheduled right now. This is the type of thing where, absolutely, if there was a group of at least five people that were interested, that expressed that would want us to come in or, you know, host a community training, this absolutely could be set.
So are you going to, like, put out a question out to the public for that? Stimulate interest possibly in having a weekend thing versus a weekday thing?
Yeah, so I'm actually also finishing a column this week for the Kenosha News, which will be highlighting this, but then I'm also putting in my contact information to inquire about other trainings. And this is something, too, on our Kenosha Extension website that is always there, just, you know, saying that I am a facilitator for both the youth and the adult, and that it is something available in the community.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have for now.
Thanks, Supervisor Vicki. And I was just thinking about, you know, spreading the word on this stuff is, you know, I don't, you know, despite being on the village board for a long time and despite being fairly active in our community, I don't always get the information in because I don't go to the, you know, the extension website, which I think a lot of people probably don't. And my experience is coming from the far western end of the county, mm-hmm. and so then you don't always think about programs and what's going on and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I do have some contacts at that, you know, are very active and are some community Facebook pages and stuff like that. So what I plan to do is when I come across this good information like this about programs that are available is try to be engaged a few people that I know to be able to spread the word.
Wonderful.
And to get it out there. So.
And this specific grant funding that we're utilizing for the no registration cost is for rural audiences. So from UW-Madison Extension's perspective of hosting it in a census tract that's deemed to be rural is kind of the qualifier for it. So if you
Perfect.
Know other groups, churches, businesses that are in this end, we still have some money before the grant runs out that we could get something set up with them too.
Or you would do something specific with those groups then? You would
yep.
go to their location?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, that's good information.
Yeah. So.
Oh, in the interest of time, I want to keep
okay.
us moving along.
Yep.
Alyssa, go ahead.
Okay, so as you might have heard, I'm pretty green into my role with Extension, but I've been, you know, reaching out to volunteers as of late just to kind of guide them in some of the required trainings that are involved in order to be able to participate and work with youth. And, you know, safety is probably one of the most important things we need to keep in mind when working with them, because safety always comes first, and if we don't have that, then we can't do a whole lot else. But overall, part of what I would like to accomplish in my role is expanding 4-H programming throughout Kenosha County, so reaching all of the different corners that we have in this county. As you all know, you come from different parts, and it's we have a lot to offer, and the community has a lot to that they could benefit from us. So. I have met a couple of project and club leaders already, but I plan to meet with even more of them next week through both holding open office hours in the evenings when most families are actually available to meet, as well as like more scheduled, structured visits to club meetings to both meet the members and project and club leaders, kind of learn about their needs and offer support where I can as needed. So that's honestly about all that I have, just because I'm only about a month in, but please stay tuned. You know, fair season's coming up, so we're going to have a lot of new stuff coming, so I look forward to sharing all of that with you all in the near future. So thank you. I'm excited to be here and working with you all and sharing all of our stuff that we have going on.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I know that the chicken program is...
Oh, the avian flu, yes, has impacted a lot of different projects, yeah.
But we, you know, in the village a few years back, a family approached us to see if they could, you know, house chickens and raise chickens in their yards. And, you know, in the village of Twin Lakes, we had an ordinance that said you couldn't. So then we made an exception to that ordinance or created a new one that said, hey, for 4-H kids, you can raise chickens in your yard and things like that.
Yeah.
The educational programming of that.
So, yeah, it's wonderful.
So
it makes it
so you know that there are ways that kids can be involved in that.
Yeah, it makes it more accessible.
In communities
more
that,
sure.
You know, may not allow it at the time. So.
Great.
Thank you. So Kenosha County is very fortunate to have some lot of big, big wholesale nursery folks, tree nursery folks that supply the material throughout the statewide. And they've been facing a lot of challenges in the last year and as well as this year. Last year's from the drought, and this year with a very wet spring. So they have some huge backlog issues, some lot of tree losses going on right now. And also they're facing a labor shortage at this time. So that's a sense that I'm getting actually so far. Because of the last year's drought, many of the trees in the nursery field have been succumbed to the winter damages. And the wet spring has actually also didn't help that much very well. Many nursery folks can't able to dig the trees right now. You know, they're busy right now actually so far. And same thing with the trends with the landscapers too. Many of the jobs has been backlogged as well too. But the biggest issue is that there's a huge labor shortage that's going on in this industry right now. With being said that, in the consumer sides, what I'm seeing is that we've been getting a lot of inquiries on lawn issues. And so left and right, people are complaining about, you know, my lawn looks very terrible, you know, from the drought effect, you know, what's going on with those kind of things. And I'm seeing those things as well. And we are seeing a lot of winter burn issues. Many of the evergreens that's been planted in the last few years, or even the established one, have been succumbed to the winter damage as well too. Mm-hmm. So we've been getting complaints quite a bit about that as well. Another program that I'm focusing right now is a new opportunity. It's a partnership with the Wisconsin Correctional Institute. So they want to partner with the extensions in the horticulture programming area to provide a life skill training for about a dozen of inmates. So I've been busy every week teaching them, and it's a really good experience, I would say. because, you know, the educational background from all these inmates are very different. So I have to explain them very in the simplest way, which is how do you explain acid, soil, alkaline soil? I have to relate it based on the fruits, actually. I have to say those things. So it was a very good experience. And the thing is that, you know, it helps in partnering, bridging a relationship with them helps actually our facility department because of the huge demands, labor shortage in our county. So with this partnership, you know, they were able to help actually sending some inmates to help our facility department to do various projects as well too. So this relationship is growing really well. I think the captain really wants to officially create a curriculum so that when these inmates, after 6 to 12 months after being here, they want to get a certificate and they can get an employment, you know, in the green industry aspect. So I'm really thrilled about it that they have this long-term vision about it. So I'm really happy to be partnered with that program as well too. The third big project, we have launched the Arboretum during our Arbor Day celebration. So the trees are kicking off really well. I was a bit nervous because of 18 inches beneath the ground is so saturated with wet with water. So now I think, you know, suddenly it looks like we're having a summer season, looks like. So things are flourishing up, time has to say. But, you know, I'm hoping actually the Arboretum is going to serve the entire Kenosha and Racine County areas. Because one of the purpose of this arboretum is that we want to see what are the species that can be adaptable to high temperature and can withstand our soil conditions right up here. So we planted about more than 90 different trees actually here, so which is highly rich in diversity in this small area. So I'm thrilled to see, you know, how they're going to survive in the next few years.
Okay, thank you. So we have just a couple of minutes left, so we'll move on to the Extension Director updates. So.
That's me, and I snuck a lot of them in during my presentation, so I'm sneaky like that. So our positions, Alyssa obviously fills the 4-H role, and the last one to post will be the agriculture agent. Again, that person will be shared between Kenosha and Racine counties. And with the reorganizations, the model has shifted a little bit. And I alluded to this earlier when I said it won't be probably like a crops and soils faculty member or a dairy industry faculty member, although we still have access to those people, right? And our educator will be the bridge that connects local learners, farmers, interested parties to that faculty member for that subject matter expertise. If questions arise, this position will be focused on small farms and increasing the supply chain options for mainly direct market vegetable production. So that's exciting. What else is happening? It's a whirlwind. There's so much to learn as I learn all the different program areas. And then, of course, Racine and Kenosha operate very differently, and I get to work in both counties. So that's just, it's just a huge amount of information to learn. But I'm really excited. The new County Board Supervisor orientation, slightly different model, but, you know, not too much, really. Our local government education program person, Mr. Foth, comes and sort of does like a roles and responsibilities review to get everybody up to speed. And then all of the departments, I've been connecting with various department heads in Kenosha County. Some of them I haven't even met, so this will be my first time meeting those folks. And I look forward to, you know, the summer program. I was looking for Erica. She's here. The summer program with the bus tour and meeting some of those folks face-to-face. So it's a lot, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm happy to be here. So. That's all.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, and with that, I believe we take a short recess and we reconvene across the way in the public hearing session of the land use items. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nice to meet you all.
So, a question for you.
What about this room? Run up the doors on?
No. Get him. Shoot.
I think Terry will have my head if I accept that offer.
I'll have his head.
He'll leave me alone, though. Okay.